Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy. I'm joined by Katie and Cameron today to talk about yesterday's 2-2 draw at home to Millwall, which saw Watford go 4 unbeaten. And in a week, we've picked up 7 points. So very good on the whole of things. Like I say, I am joined by Cam and Katie. Cameron, first things first, how are you doing, mate? You all good?
Yeah, I'm good. Watching Watford get a late equaliser, always good, but frustrating as ever. But yeah, solid weekend. How about you?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, mate. It was almost bittersweet yesterday. Like when Millwall scored, I think I'm still having flashbacks of last season, to be honest. I'm thinking, right, they've scored late on, you know, we're going to go and lose this and it's going to sort of put a dampener on a good week for Watford. But it's that never die attitude and... Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit. Katie, I know you're a little bit hungover this morning. Feeling better now, though, yeah?
Yes, I'm feeling much better. And obviously, watching Watford get a point at the end after coming back from being in a losing position always helps and makes the weekend better.
Yeah, no, definitely. Don't worry. I've been on this pod. I lose count the amount of times I've been over whilst having to do the podcast. So you won't be the first. You certainly won't be the last. But yeah, like I say, we are here to talk about yesterday's 2-2 draw with Millwall. We'll dive straight into it with the team news, firstly. There were two changes made from the team that won at Swansea on Tuesday night. Those two changes were Sema and Asprilla come in for Martins and Inch, respectively. Cam, in terms of the team news, those two changes. Firstly, were you happy with that? And secondly, would you have made any others?
No, I was really happy with that team. I mean, I want to see Rhys Healy, but that's unrealistic. So, yeah, I'd go with Bio out of him and Rojovic. We're changing to a more orthodox system slowly, aren't we? We're going more... You know, we stopped with the inverted wingbacks a little bit until yesterday. More on that later. And we've gone with Ken on the left, which is just where he's got to be. And, yeah. You know, with the performances he's been putting in off the bench, that's fantastic. He had to be in the team. Yasser Asprilla, you know, goal and an assist in the two previous games. He had to be in. And, yeah, it's just... Mateus Martins for me, it's so hard to leave him out, isn't it? Because he's such a bright spark. He's got so much energy, so confident with the ball. But how do you get him in with Ken Semmer and Yasser Asprilla? It's a nice problem to have, but I think we need to try and find a way around it.
Yeah, and for me personally, I think Ken had to start, regardless of how well a season Martins might be having at the moment. And I think he is. I said the other week on the podcast that if the season ended tomorrow, my player of the season pick would be Mateus Martins, because for me, he's been consistent. And, you know, we finally give him the game time that we really needed to give him last season. We're giving him that game time now, and he's flourishing, other than maybe the last couple of games. But Katie, Ken, for me, had to start yesterday. So when that team news come out at 2 o'clock, were you happy with that team as well?
Yeah, I think, like you said, there was no way that you would leave him out after the game he had. And I also think, like Cam was saying, it is a good problem to have, where you're trying to find ways to fit players in, where you think, oh, you know, there's three players, but we can only have two. Who do you choose? And I think it is about rotation sometimes as well. Like, not in this league, you can't have everyone start every single game, which is unrealistic. I think the only thing with the team is that I would say is that it did leave the bench lacking a bit, in the sense of, like, when I think sometimes when Martins comes on, he doesn't always bring that same energy as he does when he, if he was to start a game. Whereas I think sometimes when, like, Ken's come on, he's actually like got the game going more. And I feel like we just lacked that a bit with the subs and stuff. Obviously, that's a different thing to talk about. But I still think, like, I was happy with the team, of course. But even if he hadn't have started, I don't think I would have been disappointed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, like you've both said, you know, to have the people that we've got on the bench to bring on, you know, just to run through the bench yesterday. Chapvidadze, Hamer, Healy, Ince, Loser, Martins, Pollock, Porteous and Rojovic. That's not a bad bench for a championship team, I don't think. You know, a lot of experience to call on, and you know, some of these players, you probably wouldn't look out of place starting the game. So, yeah, I think we're very blessed in that sense. Must say as well, yesterday was Dan Backman's 100th appearance for Watford, and he's kept 34 clean sheets in that time. That's not bad. That's almost, you know, not, he's not far off 50 there. So, you know, congratulations to him. I'm sure we're going to talk about him because, yeah, he was possibly at blame yesterday for one of the goals. But the first half started, obviously, you know, we've come into the back of it off two good results. Performances, maybe not. I know you said to me yesterday, Cam, when I was asking the group chat for how, you know, asking you guys for your score predictions, I sort of said, what were people thinking? And you and Katie sort of said, look, yes, we want the result, but we want the performance. And I think yesterday, Cam, was probably the best first half I've seen. Now, listen, you know, maybe QPR will blow that out of the water, but that might have been a case of, you know, they were really rubbish as opposed to we were excellent. But yesterday, I thought performance-wise, it looked a complete team performance in that first half yesterday. And annoyingly, the aim of football is to get the ball in the back of the net. But I think we did everything other than, well, we got it in the back of the net, but we didn't do it in enough times. But I think yesterday's first half performance was what we've been waiting for, really. Is that something you'd agree with?
Yeah, absolutely. We were a joy to watch, I'd say. I actually enjoyed watching that Watford performance. We weren't stuck with the ball at the back like we normally are. We found ways to get it forward. And I put it down to that midfield, really, because they were really positive. We don't normally see that, do we? We don't see sort of players trying to get on the ball and use their body to shield it. But Ismaël Koné and Edo Kayembe, they were fantastic at that. They were, you know, they were showing for the ball, they were receiving it, they were shielding it, they were turning, and they were playing forwards. And yeah, that is exactly what we've been missing. I know we've been getting a few results, but some of those performances have been pretty drab. And I put it down to the midfield just being anonymous. So if you're Imran Loser or Georgi Chapvitadze or Tom Deli Bashiru, who didn't even make the bench, you're going to have a hard time getting back in, because I thought that midfield was phenomenal. And yeah, we played absolutely fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and as Cam said there, Kate, you know, the midfield, Kayembe yesterday, for me, I don't know if you agree with this, but that was his best performance in a Watford shirt, hands down. And Jake Livermore, maybe not as good as he was on Tuesday night, but Jake Livermore, furthermore, is showing why he should be in that starting 11, isn't he, Katie?
100%. Like, I think a lot of players, like, we're, like, obviously, yeah, I'm happy to give players stick, but also credit when they deserve it. Like, some players have really stepped up in the last few games. Obviously, yeah, I've never been a fan of Kayembe. Like, I always thought he was a bit, but, you know, he has stepped up and he did have a really good game yesterday. Like, it was really good. And same with Livermore. Like, the first games, I was like, like, you know, he's not really, he doesn't look anything special. But again, he's really stepped up. I think, like Cam was saying, anyone else who's trying to get into this midfield is going to really struggle now, because that, it looked so solid against, you know, a good side. Like, so I think, you know, I think, yeah, the midfield was really, really good. And they just helped move the ball forward all the time. Like, they were one of the main sources of the attack.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a word on Jake Livermore. Ben put a tweet out on our socials last night, and he rightly pointed out that Livermore started the last four games and we're unbeaten in those four, collecting 8 points out of possible 12. And we asked for Watford fans, your guys, basically, thoughts on him. Really, and I'll just read some of them out. Dan Harvey said, just what we needed, an experienced pro who controls the tempo, organises, as importantly, is in the ear of the referee. Now, that I agree with. You know, we haven't had a player like that since Troy, I don't think. And it's always harder when your captain is a goalkeeper. He's not going to be there to sort of be in the ear of the ref. And, you know, sometimes you see some questionable decisions, but if every player's appealing for it, he's more likely to cave in, isn't he? So if you've not got anyone peppering the ref at times, you know, it doesn't always work out like that. Mr. Snow said he seemed to be in no man's land position yesterday, contributed little going forward and seemed in the tiz about which Millwall player to pick up defensively. And then Tomsey replied saying it didn't help that both Millwall strikers hovering near him every time who had the ball, so limited his involvement on that front. He's been very good at what he's being asked to do. Ian Hornet said he's been getting better each week. Midfield general, which we've needed someone like him for a while. I like him. Loser deserves to be on the bench. And then Lee actually says he would dread the thought of him not being in the starting 11. So, you know, I think, look, when he come in, you look at Jake Livermore. I think he turns 35 in a couple of months. And he's not someone who's young. And he's sort of been around the block a bit, and you sort of think, well, that's not the player you want. You want a progressive midfielder, someone that's got legs, someone that can do the sort of hard work and the miles. And yet, you know, when he come in, he didn't look in great shape when we saw him in pre-season and the early knock-ins of the season as well. I remember that QPR game, I think he come on. And the only reason he looked half decent, you know, was because they were so poor and they didn't really sort of test us in the middle. But he's certainly, for me, been one of the standout players. And he shows why experience is so key in this league. We've just lost Cleverley, Cathcart, Goslin, you know, to name a few. You look back on the seasons that we got promoted, we brought in Matthew Connolly, Ben Watson, Sebastian Bassong, people that know the league. And Jake Livermore's been there, done it. He's got the T-shirt. So, for me, he really is stepping up to the plate. So far in this last couple of games, we obviously knew that Millwall, you know, going back to the game, Millwall were without a manager. I don't think they've been on the best of run recently. The game coming into this, they took the lead against Blackburn and lost 2-1, and their last win was on the 3rd of October. They beat Plymouth. I think that was before they got rid of Rowett, though. And they've actually, I didn't realise this, got one of the best away records. They've only Leicester and I can't remember who the other team was, have conceded less than them away on the road this season. So it only took 7 minutes for us to break the deadlock. Yasser Asprilla, the man to get it. That makes it back-to-back goals at home for Yasser Asprilla. Cam, a little bit lucky yesterday, but sometimes you've got to take that rub of the green and that luck. And it was in the right time. And Jake Cooper, his clearance ricocheted off Yasser Asprilla. And a hint of fortune as well with the goalkeeping from Kayembe's shot. Should have really held on to that. But, yeah, you take it, don't you? And it was, we'd gone ahead and and our tails were up, weren't they?
Yeah, there was another slice of luck before that as well, because we had Ngakia on the edge. His sort of deflected pass found Kayembe perfectly. Mm. Good turn and shot from him. Keeper should obviously be claiming that. And it's a testament to Yasser's hard work, isn't it, that he's got that goal? Because, you know, for all his ability on the ball, that's what we love him for. But his running, he doesn't stop. He works really hard and he does get stuck in. I think that's something that's improved about Yasser Asprilla this season as well. He does a lot of dirty work, and I'm not saying he didn't work hard last season, but we do see him sort of closing down clearances, you know, making challenges. And yeah, it's he deserved that goal, I think, just for his hard work alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I got through off then. My missus was ringing me and she knows I'm podcasting, so I don't know why she's ringing me. Asprilla, another goal. That's two goals and assist in his last three games. So, you know, maybe, Katie, he's coming into his own and he's getting used to the league and getting used to English football, because it wasn't long ago, actually, that I can't remember what game it was now, and there was rumours that he wanted to leave, and there were many Watford fans saying, well, I don't think he's lived up to expectation yet, and he certainly doesn't warrant a move to the Premier League. Are we now seeing what we expected from Asprilla in these last few games? He really is a game changer and someone that could be, you know, the main man if he really wanted to and got that run of games in the team, isn't there?
Yeah, I was just literally about to say that I really think he's stepped up to a different role this season. And I think when you have the likes of who we lost last season, it allows people like him to come through and, you know, show what he can do. Because last season we had a lot of players who, you know, they're like the star of the show and everyone else kind of gets overlooked. And I think now is a really good chance for him to kind of come up and show us what he's all about. And I really think, you know, like he said at the start of the season when everyone was like, oh, he doesn't care about the club, like he's going to leave, whatever. And now in the last few games, he really is something special on the pitch. Like he works so hard and you can really see it. And he just brings that energy and that little bit of flair to the game. And I'm so happy that he got, obviously, yeah, it was, you know, right place, right time. But, you know, it's a goal and back-to-back goals and you can't ever take that away. But I think he's really stepped up and, you know, he could be someone really important for us for the rest of the season.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, it's been great seeing him come off the bench and really, you know, bring the game back to life. Sometimes when you're in a game and it's a bit flat and you bring the subs, you know, bring him off the bench, he can really lift that mood again, sort of the opposite of what we saw yesterday, annoyedly, which we'll talk about. But hopefully it won't be long before he can start playing, you know, a full 90 minutes. You know, he was hooked after 60 minutes yesterday, wrongly, I think, which, again, we'll get into in a short while. The lead didn't last long, though. 5 minutes later, Zion Fleming got the goal that equaled it for Millwall. I must say, we were just talking about how good he was. The defending, that would have been right in front of where you sit, Cam, wouldn't it? And the defending, yeah. Jake Livermore was, you know, it was like a traffic cone, really. He was sort of stuck in the mud a little bit. And it's a really poor goal to concede. And it continues to be that case for Watford. We cannot help defending poorly. And we should know, especially against a team like Millwall, they're going to win it aerially and they're going to bully us. So you'd have thought we'd have learnt our lesson, surely.
Yeah, look, I feel for Jake Livermore a bit here because he's picked up his man and he's got it covered. He's clearing that until Tom Bradshaw gets a flick on completely unmarked in the middle. I mean, we know all about Tom Bradshaw. We know what he can do. So Someone pick him up. But yeah, that flick on completely throws off Livermore. He's wrong-footed and it's an easy finish for Fleming, but it's set pieces all the time that we concede them for fun. I'm not blaming him here, but it doesn't help having a goalkeeper that the defenders don't have any faith in on set pieces. They need to work a solution for this because it's our detriment nearly every week, I'd say.
Yeah, I think that's what's frustrating. You know, we can have all this possession and we can sort of create these half chances and still not put them away. And The annoying thing is, if we shored up the defensive errors, like how many times have we been on here, Katie, and talked about gifting the opposition a goal? And you think, I wish it was as simple as this, but if you think, if we eradicated this poor defending and zonal marking, whether you agree with it or not on corners and everything else, we could be, you know, a lot higher in the table. Because I'm not being funny. We talked about last season being quite a poor championship. I don't think the championship's that much stronger this season. You know, we last week, actually, Katie, after the, not last week, a couple of weeks ago, after the Cardiff game, me and you were on here. And we were saying, look, after the international break, we got three games in a week. And me and you both sat here and said, we could be sitting here next on that Sunday talking about picking up 9 points, 7 points, 0 points, and things could be completely different. We are now sat here and we have not lost in that week. We've picked up 7 points from a possible nine. It just, like I say, it's just so frustrating, isn't it, that we seem to still have these little tweaks we need to make defensively, because some of the goals we're gifting away, you take them out, and we if we actually stop dicking about for once, we could be up there this season easily.
Yeah, I think like we really, I think we should have won yesterday. Like,
yeah,
with take away the goals that obviously the goals conceded were again just like defending errors, and we, the first half, we should have been about 3-1 up. Like, we had so many chances to score. And like you were saying, after the Cardiff game, we said, if you had said then you'll get 9 points from those three games, like, we would be up near playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think it is just disappointing when that happens. But then also, I'm really proud that we've managed to get 6 points and then we drew against Millwall, because we were saying, oh, you know, we probably would lose against Millwall. We might get a win against Sheffield Wednesday. Like, it was a bit hit and miss, but we've managed to come out with, you know, 7 points, and that's not bad. But yeah, it is poor defending costing us these games. You know, I don't think Millwall were at all that amazing. And no, I thought we were by far the better side, and we really should have won that game. But yeah, you know, we didn't, but I would have
thought. No, absolutely. I think you're spot on there, Katie. I think that's what frustrates us the most. You know, we come up against teams and, you know, we've dropped points against teams which perhaps on their day don't look amazing. You know, Millwall, for me yesterday, they knew how they were going to come and play, and they were set up to let us have the possession, soak it up, and then hit us on the counter. I went on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Twitter space after the game, and I said it was very similar to how we, I think, wanted to set up against Swansea. The only difference was Swansea were that poor. We could have a little bit more freedom with it. I think we were obviously expecting Swansea to have a lot more of the possession, but they were giving the ball away, a lot of misplaced passes going out for throw-ins. And I think that allowed us to have a little bit more freedom in that game. Whereas I think Millwall yesterday come and they were like, right, we know Watford are going to have a large quantity of the ball. That's fine. Soak it up. And then bam, we hit them on the counter, because, you know, they've got players in that team that can get them forward very quickly. And it is frustrating because, you know, I think I don't know if you two can jump in at any time here, but I personally don't feel like that was the Millwall that we saw last season. That was a completely different Millwall side. And look, they're going through a bit of a transition at the moment. They've just lost Gary Rowett. Gotten rid of him, sorry. There's a caretaker manager who doesn't know whether he's going to be here from 1 minute to the next. The rumours are it's Kevin Muscat going in. Neil Warnock, I know he's been linked back with QPR today. But yeah, his style of football, however that may be in these few games in between, that it's not going to stick around. So yeah, I didn't think Millwall were all that yesterday, which it makes it even more increasingly frustrating, because Cam, I thought for the whole of the first half, I thought we were superb, and we should have got another goal, shouldn't we, Cam?
Yeah, look, I'll counter your point about it's not the same Millwall as last season. Well, it's not the same Watford as last season either.
No,
there's definitely a better mentality around. And yeah, last season we would have just sunk to a team like Millwall, no matter which one turned up. So yeah, say what you want about our quality, but the mentality looks much, much better. we should have got another goal that half. I think what we struggled with is actually creating clear-cut chances. You know, we had a few half chances, but yeah, we sort of lack the incisiveness, and I think that will come with a better number nine, to be honest. We need someone who, you know, more mobile like Bio, but also can occupy the defenders, make a bit of room. So yeah, we aren't the complete article, but it was much better, and we probably should have been winning after that first half.
Yeah, interesting you say about that number nine, actually, because we've had a question from our very own Joe Thomas, and I've been thinking, when can I actually bring this up to ask? But I'm going to ask you now. So he said, if Bio and Rajovic have a bad few games and he doesn't seem to want to give Healy a chance, would you play Martins up front in that number nine role? Now, I've seen a few people say this. For me personally, I don't think he has the attributes to be a number nine, and I don't think we'd be any better off with having Martins in that nine role. What your face would suggest that you agree, Cam.
No, I'm not sure I agree. I think, look, Martins, he does his best work coming in off that left side. I think maybe in a front two with a Healy or a Rajovic or a Bio, he could work if he can still, you know, work on that left side of the pitch. He scores his goals cutting in. He, you know, he does all his best work, all his take-ons. He's very one-footed. We did see a glimpse of him on the right yesterday, didn't we? And it wasn't nearly as good. So yeah, I don't think he's quite versatile enough to play up front. But we do have that selection headache we mentioned earlier. You know, I don't want us to shoehorn him in, but maybe there's a way we can get him in up front.
Yeah. And Katie, could you see Martins maybe as a number nine, or is that a no-go for you?
I don't know. I feel like I don't know. Like, it's kind of like, oh, I could see us trying him there if we seriously needed it. I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice, but like, it wouldn't hurt to give him a game there. Like you said, if he was up there with someone else, maybe, because that way they could like work together and he could still be able to kind of come in from the side and stuff. I don't know. So maybe, but it wouldn't be my first choice.
No, I think it'd be very harsh on Healy if we bypassed him. I know, obviously, Ishmael doesn't quite fancy him or rate him or whatever, but to completely bypass him and go for Martins up top, you know, I think that would really piss Healy off. And whether he's on the books to go down for a loan in January already, I don't know, but I think that would maybe force his hand a little bit if that was to happen. I must say as well, for you guys watching at home, if there's anything you want to ask us or any comments you want to make about the game whilst we're talking about it, please don't hesitate to drop it in the comments and we will bring it up, we will discuss it, we will answer any questions, etc. So yeah, thank you very much if you are watching. Again, in the first half yesterday, I thought a man who really, really stood out for me, Ken Sema. Like, we talked about Ken Sema in that lockdown season, and he was really, really, you know, good. And I thought that's where the fans sort of started to take him in as their own and a bit of a fan favourite and all this, you know, he was a Swedish goat and all this. That's where that really started. And I feel like yesterday was back to those sort of performances, because in that first half, he was deployed out on the left, on the wing. And we obviously saw him come in, and it wasn't long ago that we were saying, you know, he perhaps is a little bit better over on at left back. But for me yesterday, Katie, he was in complete control and he was getting us forward at every opportunity. And as well, I want to say that I think Lewis really, really worked well with him over on that left-hand side. I thought the overlapping of the two was really good. And that was probably one of the best performances I've seen from Lewis as well.
No, I agree. I was thinking as well. Like, I thought Lewis, you know, the first few games, I wasn't massively impressed by him. I thought, you know, he's a bit lazy. He's not really adding much to the pitch. But the last few games, honestly, he's been really good. Like, I think it could be that partnership with Ken. It just, you know, when those two players, and just works, like they just understand each other. And I really think Ken has stepped up. Like, I don't know if it's like a, you know, confidence thing, or, you know, now he's actually getting the game time, and obviously he had his injury, so I wasn't sure if maybe that was why, you know, he's come back from that now, and he's honestly playing some really good football. Like, I was just watching him like that first half. He was so good, like just driving everything forward all the time, getting recoveries, and challenges. Like he just does everything. Like he works so hard, and it's paying off as well. Like, you know, the goal he scored the other week, like, was so good. And I honestly, like, he is such a fan favorite as well. Like, you just can't hate him. Like, he's such a nice guy. But no, I think he is definitely up there with someone this season who is going to be our main man.
Yeah. If he wants to, that opportunity is absolutely there. And I think ultimately, Cam, that's what we've wanted from a Watford side. We want players on that pitch who care, who look like they're giving 100% for the shirt. And yes, everything he does doesn't always work out. But, you know, if he loses a ball, he'll bust a gut to try and get it back. And I thought, like I said a minute ago, I thought yesterday was the best we've seen Kent in a long time, in that first half only. When he was moved to the right in the second half, you've said it before, Cam, I agree. On the right, he just doesn't work. It's completely, you know, inept over on that right. But that first half for me yesterday, a solid performance from Ken.
Yeah, I've always wanted more from Ken, to be honest. I've wanted a bit of consistency. He can pull out a really good game, but I don't think we see enough from him, especially as a winger. I'd much prefer him at left back. However, he looked really, really assured with the ball yesterday, didn't he? Just every time he got it, every touch, you know, every pass, it perfectly weighted. Every time he tried to carry it, you know, perfect. He couldn't get tackled. It just stick to him. And yeah, it's what we need. We need someone who's going to drive us forward. We need someone who's going to bring quality, especially in deliveries into the box, because that's something we've really struggled with, I think, getting any kind of service. And look, I have my problems with Rajovic. I don't rate him particularly highly. But I think there is a link up. I know we didn't see it today, but there is a link up there that, you know, we could prosper from. Rajovic getting onto Ken Sema crosses. I want to see a bit of that. I mean, look, Bio works hard, but yeah, I want to see those two link up like we saw at the end from a loser cross. So yeah, there's definitely room for Ken Sema to, you know, maybe be our player of the season if he can become consistent.
Absolutely. And just to sort of echo what you said, Katie, you know, I think Ken, you know, he's been injured, so confidence might not be there. It's, you know, first few games back. But for me, he's come back and he's hit the ground running. And same with Lewis as well, really. You know, let's not forget that Lewis was completely frozen out at Newcastle because they do have better options, unfortunately, for Lewis. So he's gone from not playing regular football to being thrown in the deep end at Watford, where the fans are, you know, really pissed off with how the team performed last season. They want players that are going to give 100%. And Lewis's 100% might not be quite the standard that Watford fans would have wanted, because he's not had the chance to play regular first-team football. And we are now seeing him come into his own. And like I say, yesterday, I think the last couple of games we've seen him overlap. And that is what we want. I've not seen a player overlap like that on a side since Kiko and Saar used to do it. And they were brilliant at it. And, you know, Lewis not afraid to get forward and cut those balls back, get the crosses in. And ultimately, as Cam just said, Rajovic isn't going to be your man who, you know, runs his absolute bollocks off. He's going to be a man that sort of sticks around in the penalty area waiting for these crosses. And that's what happened yesterday. And look what happened. He scored his fourth goal of the season. So we went into the game 1-1 at half-time, sort of scratching our heads, thinking, how are we not, you know, winning here? And how is this 1-1? And then, you know, the second half starts and Jeremy Ngakia, who's another player I want to pick out, because I think, you know, I think Ben put a tweet out on our podcast after the Swansea game saying how good it is to see, you know, Ngakia really performing. Now, I actually wanted to sort of play devil's advocate a bit with that point, because I thought his first half against Swansea was really poor. And I actually said to the guy next to me I went to with Ricky, I said I'd be hooking him at half time. I didn't know who for, because, you know, we're not blessed with right back options on the bench, especially because Andrews was suspended. He's now available, by the way, for the next game at Huddersfield. But that second half, I thought he was brilliant. And yesterday, I thought he was brilliant. Cam, you sort of said he's not had the chance to have a run of games to show that consistency. And hopefully, this is now that run of games showing that consistency. But he was very unlucky yesterday, wasn't he, Cam? Straight and into the second half, goes on a bit of a mazy run, gets a shot away, takes a massive deflection off Harding, I think it was. And it must have rolled slow motion and it just went wide. I think it was Kone that was trying to sort of get a nick on it just before it went over. But it rolled just fast enough that Kone wasn't able to get there. But yeah, Cam, talk to me about Ngakia.
Yeah, look, nearly very lucky as well. You say unlucky, but that would have been an amazing goal, rivaling Hoots against Coventry. I thought Ngakia was fantastic, to be honest, playing that sort of inverted fullback role as sort of another midfielder, really solid ball carrier. I think he is technically better than Andrews, and that's why he suits the role a bit more. His first Watford goal is coming, I think, because the amount of times he's come close, it's not far away. And no. I mean, you saw he cut in on his left foot as well. I don't think we've seen much of Ngakia's left foot, but that's confidence for you. He's definitely, even with Andrews back, I'd let him keep his place against Huddersfield. I think he played fantastic.
Yeah. I still to this day don't know how that shot he had against Birmingham at home last season in midweek didn't go in. It whistled past the post. I was sat in a rookery with you actually, and that was so close to going in. And I must say, you know, other than that first half against Swansea, I think he's growing into it, and sort of maybe the Jeremy Ngakia of old, because when he first came in that lockdown season, he started under Ivic and he was superb and he was top of all these stats defensive wise, and then he just gone off the boil because of his injury problems. KE going into Huddersfield, like Cam said, he's going to stick with him. Are you going to stick with him, or are you bringing Andrews in? Do you think he's done enough in the last few games to warrant keeping his place in the starting 11?
I don't know. I think I'd probably keep him.
Yeah.
Only because I don't think he's done anything to not be kept in. Yeah. Like, I think he's been better, but I do think he's not brilliant. I don't think he's like jaw dropping, but I would probably keep him in only because I do agree. I think over the last few games he's stepped up. Like, but I wouldn't, you know, I don't have full confidence in him yet. I'm still a bit half and half. I think again, I do think Andrews is better, and I feel more confident when he's in that position, but I probably wouldn't put him straight back in. I'd probably see how it goes for Huddersfield. And like, that will be a tough game for us. And I think if Ngakia has got confidence now, you know, why would you drop him? Like, there's no reason.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, that's why we sit on a podcast and talk about things. You know, not everyone's going to have the same views on players. And that's very interesting that you think that. And I think he will stick with Ngakia because if it's not broke, don't fix it sort of thing. You know, he's not done anything horrendous to be like, right, as soon as Andrews is back, get him in. I do think Andrews will eventually worm his way back into the side. That sort of makes it sound bad, actually. But I think he'll work his way back into the side, personally. Not sure when. But yeah, Huddersfield, we'll make hard work of that. I was looking yesterday at their record. They lost to Leeds 4-1 yesterday, and they've won one in their last 9 games. So we love, obviously, playing teams like Huddersfield, who are on horrendous runs of form. It does surprise me, actually. I saw a couple of Huddersfield, not to go off the boil a bit here, but saw a couple of Huddersfield tweets yesterday, and they're already saying, like, Darren Moore's quite clearly not cut out for this sort of level of management. I'm thinking, bloody hell, he's had, what, 3-4 games? But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Like you say, I'm sure we'll make hard work of that. But, yes, the second half, that was probably as good as it got until later on, I think, really, Cam. You know, I think Millwall sort of grew into the game, and their plan of coming and sitting behind the ball and trying to let us, you know, break us down, break us down. And we were sort of running out of ideas a little bit, I think. And Millwall, 83, 84 minutes on the clock, I think it was, went and notched ahead. It was a easy header by Harding. I've watched it back, and to be honest, I can't tell whose man it's meant to be. I think, not to point fingers at him straight away, I think it was Kayembe's man. But for you, Cam, on that corner, it was the 85th minute, Wes Harding. On that corner, who's to blame? Because I've seen people slag Batman off. I've seen people slag the zonal marking off. For me, it's both. Batman quite clearly goes to come to the ball and then decides, no, I'm going to stick on my line. And then, you know, it clear as day, you know, I could see where he was putting that header. He wasn't going to the side. He was running onto it and he was going straight down the middle. But Batman thought, no, he's going to the side, and he dives to the side. You know, 5 minutes left the normal time and they're 2-1 up. Like, what were your thoughts on that goal yesterday, Cam?
It's frustrating. We should have been out of sight by then. Backman, for me, just it's his usual thing, isn't it? He's so indecisive on corners. He starts to come for the cross, as he normally does, and then he just shrinks back to his line. It's such a high ball in as well. I think any other goalkeeper in this league would claim that. And yeah, Białkowski down the other end, he had a shaky game, but I think even with his confident shot, he would be claiming that. I think it was loser's man, not KMB's. He should have picked him up a lot better for sure. But when you don't have any confidence in your goalkeeper, it must be so hard to stay focused on a corner.
Absolutely. And, you know, as Joe points out here, that's always been an issue with Backman. He goes to move and decides not to, and he's out of position. And I do remember now, it was loser. So apologies, Kayembe, and any fans that are watching from the Dominican Republic of Congo. Please don't come for me. But yeah, you know, really, really frustrating. Katie, you know, the last couple of games, we've sort of looked, well, maybe not the last couple of games, maybe just Tuesday, because he didn't have a lot of things to do against Sheffield Wednesday. But Tuesday night, you know, I was sort of praising him, how well he was. He made two match-winning saves for me, maybe three. And he pulled out some real big saves. He obviously got back-to-back clean sheets. I can't remember how many he's on for this season, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he's up there with like the highest in the league, possibly. But he goes from, you know, having two back-to-back clean sheets, having a super performance on Tuesday night, to then going and doing that. And, you know, really, really disappointing on his 100th game as well. For you, does he have to do better on that corner?
Yeah, I think the thing with him is he is quite inconsistent. Like, yeah, he will have two games where he, like, keeps us in and literally wins us the game. And then he'll concede goals like that. And it's like, we know he's better than that. We know that he can, like, you should come for that. Like, I would have expected him to come for that corner because, it, like you said, it was high. Like, I don't know why he kind of, it was like he went, he always tries to go and then he's like, oh no. And he just, yeah, it's just poor, very poor decision making. Mm-hmm. I would say that he probably was at fault for the goal, but like you were saying, it's just, it is hard as a defender to not know what your goalkeeper is going to do. Like, they don't know if they should be marking or this or whatever, because it's just he can't make up his mind about what he's going to do. I still don't think, like, he's been, it's hard to dish out like criticism because he has been so good in other games, like the Swansea game, you know, he was good. And even in games where he makes mistakes like that, he does make other good saves. Like, I'm pretty sure he actually saved one of them yesterday. I can't remember. I just remember thinking, oh, that was a good save. Like, he does make good saves, which is why it's so frustrating when he does stuff like this, because it's like, we know you're better than this.
Yeah, I think he closed one of their players down. They went through and he closed one of them down. So absolutely, you know, there's no denying shot-stopping-wise, he's one of, if not the best in the division. But his overall goalkeeping is still questionable. And it is frustrating when you see him come out and then, no, I'm actually going to stay here. Mm. because like Cam said, the defenders must be thinking, well, what the fuck's he doing? Like, 1 minute he's pulling off this save and clawing it out top bins, and the next he's not even coming for a simple cross. So, yeah, it's frustrating. I mentioned as well in terms of clean sheets, he's actually sixth on the list. He's got the joint second. So Alex Palmer and Haldke, the Ipswich Town goalkeeper, they've both got 6 clean sheets. And then there's 4 goalkeepers on 5. So Hermanson from Leicester, Olnwick from Cardiff, Meslier from Leeds, and Dan Backman from our good selves. So, yeah, joint second in the league. That does surprise me, actually. I thought the Leicester keeper would be miles away, but I think that, you know, they've conceded, although they have won a lot of games, they have conceded in a lot of them as well. So, yeah, second most clean sheets. And Bill Kowski's actually got the third joint most clean sheets with 4, which does surprise me because he looked very shaky yesterday, and even more frustrating why we didn't sort of test him a bit more. But I have skipped past something which I was meant to bring up, so apologies about that, jumping the gun, and we're going to go back in time now. Obviously, you know, I just mentioned there Millwall winning, Millwall going on and getting that goal and taking the lead with 5 minutes to go. And I think for me, the tide really turned in the 60th minute. The substitutions he made yesterday, the last couple of weeks, you could probably say the subs have changed the game for the better. And, you know, especially against Sheffield Wednesday, you know, Espria coming off the score, coming off the bench to score. Chatford Dadsey looked hungry when he came on against Sheffield. And then the subs that he made on Tuesday night was sound enough to sort of make us see out the game. But for me, yesterday, the subs, he got them wrong. We saw Rajovic come on. We saw, I'm trying to think who else come on now. I have got it written down. We saw Rajovic, Martins and Loser on for Bio, Ken and Kone. Now, for me, maybe Bio. I mean, I just want to say on Bio as well yesterday, I know his goal is to score goals, and that is, you know, his job is to get those goals. But for me yesterday, I thought off the ball work was superb again. Closed down that chance in the second half where Bill Kowski just took a little bit too long to release the ball from his feet. And on another day, that maybe goes in the back of the net. But I thought his work rate was brilliant yesterday. He does what we want Rajovic to do in terms of the dirty work. And, you know, Rajovic, so far, with his goals, he does what we want Bio to do with the goal-scoring department. So it's like, you know, you've got one thing in one striker and one in another. You're like, I wish they would have both have each other's attributes. So, yeah, Warwick Bird said here that Kone shouldn't have been hooked. Bad decision by Ishmael. For me, all 3 of those subs, I think they were the wrong subs. And I think as well, they really, you know, took the sting out of us yesterday, didn't they, Cam? Because, yeah, we maybe didn't start the second half with the same sort of intensity that we did in the first half, but we certainly were on top until those substitutions were made.
Yeah, look, I was thinking back to one of the great Watford substitutions in recent history. Mariappa on for Messina, half-time away at West Ham, 3-0 down. These 3 subs were all astronomically worse than that. I don't know what he's thinking. You take off our 3 most energetic players. They're running the show. Bio's starting to grow into it. Yasser's, you know, really giving us a cutting edge. And Kone, he's everywhere. He's running non-stop. I didn't agree with any of it. I know he's got his sort of, they've got the Fitbits and, you know, it tells them when they should come off to prevent injury. We haven't got a game for another week. We haven't got a midweek game. Let him play because we're dominating that game. And just to make it worse, you bring on 3 players who, you know, they want to play to a lower tempo. Martins, you know, he gives us energy, but you're playing him on the wrong side.
Yeah,
he's not a right winger. All his best work comes on the left. And then we sacrifice Ken, who then has to go on the right. And, you know, as we said earlier, he can't play on the right. He's just nowhere near as effective. But yeah, Rajovic and Loser, they want to play to a lower tempo. They don't want quick football. I thought both of them and Martins were quite poor, obviously, until the 96th minute or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating. And if you think their performances are going to fall off, if you think they're going to get injured, just watch them. They're not slowing down. They're ready to keep playing. So, yeah, I'm really baffled by that one, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that substitution against West Ham. Mariappa recently followed us on Instagram, and maybe the interview would have been in a bag up until then. So thanks, Gal. let's hope you don't watch the podcast today. But no, look, they did. You know, they really took the sting out of the game. And like I said, it's not something that can be said for recent games, because I thought those, we know he likes to make the subs on the 60th minute, a bit like Sisco did. And, you know, in recent weeks, they've sort of worked for the better for us. But Katie, I mean, to bring the sprayer off, like Cam says, you know, we know Martins can, you know, really bring flair, but a sprayer's on fire at the moment. So for me, why bring him off? And excuse me, and the other one, loser for Kone. Kone, for me, the last few games has been superb and has shown that he can, if he reaches his full potential, he can be the best player at this club. I've no doubt about that. His passing ability is second to none. And loser for me has really fallen off since that QPR game. And I think Cam, you've hit the nail on the head there. He likes to play the game at a slower tempo. Well, unfortunately, pal, you're in the fucking second tier of English football. You don't get time to dilly-dally on the ball. Like, it needs to be quick tempo. It's very fast in your face. You maybe get away with it in the Prem if you're a mid-table team or something. But, yeah, I think he's all wrong at the moment. But, yeah, Katie, I mean, those subs yesterday, they really did take the sting out of the game. And, obviously, then Millwall went on to score. Did you perhaps worry that, the game's gone a bit flat now because of them subs? Millwall have just bloody scored. Did you think that was it? You know, back to old Watford, like bloody hell, you know, had two good results and now we've thrown it away on the Saturday against Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, we, like, literally in the group chat, we were like, oh, I wouldn't have made those subs, wouldn't have taken those players off, because we were playing so well. I was like, at least, I understand you want to make the subs, but just watch the game. Like, nothing was going wrong. Nothing was, like, bad. I wouldn't have thought, if we were like, if he could obviously see players were struggling, then, understand, make the subs. But they weren't. They literally weren't. Like, they were actually growing into it. I thought, Bayer's going to score in a minute. He was like, I literally was like, he's ready. Like, the goal's coming. But, then obviously as soon as we lose that tempo, you almost see like the body language of all the players suddenly just drop, and then obviously they score, great, here we go again. Like, I was like, what were those last two games, just fluke results? But I did think, oh god, here we go, like, this is it, you know, now back to square one. But you know, we did good to come back from being, you know, in a losing position. And I think that, again, just shows the character of the players. And there's no doubt that these players do care about the club and the fans and winning games. And, you know, you watch the videos that they post at the end of, like, the full-time scenes, and the players are happy. Like, they look like they care. And I think that's really good. And, you know, it's really great that, you know, Rajovic scored again, because he was getting a bit sloppy and not really doing much. But yeah, I think, you know, the subs, yeah, they just didn't help the game. And then obviously when Millwall score, you think, oh, here we go, like, this is it. But
well, I mean, we just talked about how bad the subs were. Two of them combined to make sure that we didn't lose a game. So typical Watford, eh? But I think that's testament as well. And just before that, actually, I want to point out Reece Healy did finally come on. I know we've seen him against Sunderland and Stevenage in the Cup. 87 minutes, he come on for Edo Kayembe, who I said earlier had a fantastic game. For me, the best in a Watford shirt that we've seen. And he had his Pasetto moment, because, and nobody's really talking about this now. I don't know whether it's because it was one of them where it's just sort of like you forget it happens because of the last minute scenes. But there was a chance at 2-1 that Millwall could have very easily made it 3-1. The ball went over Backman. And at the time, I didn't know it was Healy. And Healy's not the tallest of guys. So he got underneath it, headed it onto the bar, and he'd come away, and we cleared it. And like I say, you know, that would have made it 3-1 to Millwall with, what, in the 90th minute. And yeah, there were 6 minutes added on. There's no way we'd have come back from that. So, you know, Rhys Healy, hats off to you, mate. You know, he comes on, he can very easily come on these last few minutes and just sort of run around and, you know, not really care because, you know, he's probably pissed off. He's not really getting the chance. And, you know, I don't blame him. And it sort of takes me back to when I spoke to Anthony from the Toulouse fan group. And he said, you know, every time he plays, he's going to give 100%. And, you know, can I say give 100% basing him on 3, 6, 9 minutes, whatever it is? It's hard to judge, but, you know, to be in that position in the first place, to clear it off the line and make sure it doesn't go 3-1, that is some doing, and that's, you know, him giving it his all. So I would like to see him over the next few games, you know, especially when we're playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. You know, there's no reason he shouldn't be playing. But listen, I understand, you know, maybe Bio is impressing with his work rate, and if Rajovic can come on and get the goals that he does, then, you know, that's possibly what's keeping him out of the team. But there was 6 minutes added on, and in the 92nd minute, Loser put a cross in, and Tommy Mooney summed it up perfectly. Rajovic, his laziness really worked to our detriment because he was literally just stood in the box, like just waiting for the ball. And if he wasn't, if that was Bio maybe wouldn't have been in there because he would have been trying to win the ball from deep and trying to get back in time and maybe just would have missed it. But Rajovic was like, nah, fuck it, I'm going to stand there and you guys can hit me with the crosses and I'll try and get my head on him. And no one was marking him in absolute no man's land. And, you know, the marking was poor, a bit reminiscent of Watford's marking. And there he was, headed home, his fourth goal of the season. It was really, really brilliant to see. I mean, there, you know, Jake Cooper, the man to mark him. Jake Cooper, by the way, there's a picture of them doing that United Against Racism where they're holding the flag. He towers over everyone. Like, he makes bloody Wesley Hoot look like a midget. And it's like Wesley Hoot's a big bastard as well. So he really is tall and he won everything in the air yesterday. And you can see why Watford wanted him. You know, he's a towering, imposing figure. But like Pete said on the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Twitter space yesterday, I think he's going to stay at Millwall till the cows come home. And I think a lot of that is because of the sad passing of the chairman. I think he was quite touched by that and he put a statement out to say that he was going to stay with Millwall. And he's Millwall through and through, and fair play to him. But I think he had a good game against us yesterday. Luckily, he didn't cause us too much trouble. But yeah, going back to the goal, that never, you know, that never giving up attitude. And I just want to read out that something Ben said in our group chat, because I think it is very, very true. I think I asked him if there's anything he wanted me to bring up. And he said, just speak about the character of the team and how Val deserves credit for it. Many times this season, we've came from behind. The last two seasons, we would have gone on to lose heavily. And, you know, Joe says, you know, we'd have given up when that second goal went in, but the team kept going and got their rewards. And we've shown a few times this season, and he does deserve a lot of credit for that, because in past seasons, it could have gone a lot worse. But the togetherness of this side is class. And then Ben said, you know, if I'm honest, I think fans' mentality needs to change now as well. The players' mentality is stronger, but fans need to do it now. The moment Millwall scored late on yesterday, loads of people got up and left. That needs to change. Give the players your support and don't just get up because we've conceded. We got ourselves back into the game yesterday and the players. Cam, how true is that? Like last season, when Millwall scored that goal, like with 5 minutes left, we'd have capitulated. We'd have just been like, nah, we're not coming back against this. And we wouldn't have lost. You know, that third goal would have gone in and maybe a fourth. And, you know, it's reminiscent of the Huddersfield game last season at home, you know, to take the lead and to go ahead and then to lose. That we really are seeing a turnaround in the mentality of the team, and that credit has to go down to Val, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's changed the culture. He looks like he's working really hard behind the scenes, and he's got these players wanting to play for us. I've got absolutely no doubt that this is a Watford team that will give 100% no matter what. Yeah, doubts about quality, but like you said, last season, we never get a draw out of that game after going 2-1 down. And to be honest, what you said about fans, I mean, I had absolutely no faith that we'd get anything out of that, because why should I? We're always disappointed, aren't we? But no, that looks like it could change. We scored late goals for the last three games now, plus the Birmingham one and coming from behind against Cardiff. There's a lot of character in this squad, and yeah, I think we as fans need to realise that we're not a team blessed with quality anymore. Yeah, that's frustrating considering where we've been, but it's the truth. We're not blessed with quality and we're not promotion contenders. What we need to recognise is that we do have a group of players that are giving their all, and that is what we've been asking for, isn't it? That's something to build on.
Absolutely. Is, you know, the amount of times at the end of last season, the season before, we just want our Watford back. We want a team that are going to look like they're giving 100%. And Katie, that's what we've seen the last few games. The results haven't been pretty. The performances haven't been pretty. The results bloody well have, because we've not lost in four games. And, you know, people moan, you know, I saw the amount of people moaning after that Sheffield Wednesday game. And I'm like, this is a championship, man. Like, there's going to be games where we're fucking class and we win. There's going to be games where we're shit and we win. There's going to be games where we're really good and we draw. There's going to be games where we're really crap and we draw. And you get the gist where I'm going. But that is a championship. And sometimes you have to grind results out. Look at Leicester. Your boyfriend's a Leicester fan, yeah? And,
yeah,
like, Leicester are top of the league. For me, they get 100 points easily this season. I bet if you were to ask him and any other Leicester fan, are they playing sexy football every week, week in, week out, and blowing teams away? I bet a large portion of them would be like, well, no, we're not actually. They've got the quality to be able to do that. So I think it is so true that this is a Watford team that have got fight and got character in it. And we've been wanting that for a long time, haven't we, Katie?
Yeah, I mean, and it's about like having the patience with this team. Like, you know, we went through our rough patch a few weeks ago where everyone was like, oh, Bale's going to get the sack now. Like, and, you know, our own fans were even saying that, like, he's gone, sack him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Like, the team's a mess, blah, blah, blah. But we've seen it with the players, you know, giving them time, game time, and suddenly now they've become like these new players who are really, really great. And we've seen it with Val. Like, you have to work through these bad patches where it might get bad, and then my Siri just turned on. I don't know why I did that. Working through the patches, getting them over, and there is no doubt that he has got this team that actually care about Watford and they care about the club, and you see it in them and you see it in the way that they act with each other and their celebrations. It is a team and it's united, and I just think that's all we can ask, and eventually the results will come with it, and they are. You know, we're four unbeaten now. You know, we've got Huddersfield away and Rotherham, and they're the next two. We could go six unbeaten, and then obviously I know the games building up to Christmas are a lot harder, but we have to build on this, and I have no doubts that the team that we have, you know, they'll stick together. They'll, you know, they play well when they can. Mm. I mean, we haven't got the biggest amount of quality, but when they want to, they can really switch it on. But I'm happy watching this Watford side, regardless of the result. If that team is performing and trying, that's all I care about.
Absolutely. And I think that's what a lot of fans sort of need to remember, that is, at the end of the day, yes, we want our team to be in the best league in the world. Of course we do. Any football fan would wish that on their football team. But just having a Watford that we can be proud of, having a Watford that we know are coming off that pitch at the end of the game and giving 100%. And it might be a bit of a low bar because of how we've, you know, the performances in the team that we've had to put up with the last few seasons have been that sort of poor. Like, for me, personally, when I went to Swansea on Tuesday, to see Kone run over to the fans with the passion, and you could genuinely see he was so buzzing when that final whistle went. I love that. Like, I was just as, you know, passionate as he was. And it's just great to see. And I just, that is what we want. And yeah, you know, we might have to sacrifice sticking about in the Championship for another couple of seasons. But to be honest, I'm happy with that. I've got no problem with that if I know that the Watford team that I pay my hard-earned money to are going to give 100%. Because there's nothing worse, especially in this day and age. If I want to go to Watford now, after factoring fuel, you know, it's probably a 300-round-mile trip for me. Ticket, hotel, if I'm stopping down, food, drink. You know, I could easily spend minimum of £150 going to Watford. And, you know, with the cost of living and everything and money being tight and all that, it's not something that I have the luxury of doing week in, week out. And so every time I go and pay my hard-earned money, if I'm watching a Watford side that don't really give a shit, then I'm like, what is the point? And, you know, attendances are looking a bit sort of low for Watford over the last few seasons. And can I blame certain fans? No, I can't. You know, the Vic does look empty at times. I was looking yesterday, and especially towards the Millwall fans, although that might have been premeditated because they're not the nicest bunch. But, you know, especially the Surrounding John stand near the Millwall fans, it was practically empty in the Surrounding John stand. And, you know, hopefully we can start seeing attendances pick up a little bit more, and you know, we can start saying that we're proud of this Watford team and we know that they're giving 100%. And like you rightly pointed out there, we've got two big games coming up as well, where on paper, you know, you'd like to think that we can get 6 points. There's the famous words, but they're games that we can look towards and hopefully get those 6 points from, because that would be some return. That would Cam, going into Huddersfield, Are you confident of us picking up a result? Obviously, you know, we just won our first away game in 295 days. It'd be typical to go and pick up two on the bounce, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, no, it wouldn't. We're not winning two away growth, but
yeah, that's true.
I think we can go there and get something, maybe play with a bit of confidence, because, I mean, I didn't get to watch the Swansea game fully, but I heard it was sort of a gritty performance, wasn't it? And
yeah.
We didn't play sort of the football we played against Millwall, but I'd like to see us, you know, go away from home against quite a poor team and try and impose our style on them. And, you know, hopefully a result will come with that. And yeah, it's nice to be in this run where we can pick up points. Let's not get carried away, because a few weeks ago, everyone on Twitter convinced me we're in a relegation battle. Yeah. And now everyone's saying we're so close to the playoffs. So yeah, it can all change in a matter of weeks. So yeah, let's see what Huddersfield and Rotherham do to us. Rotherham are currently 2-0 down to Sheffield Wednesday, I think. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think there's any chance we beat them, to be honest.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. I forgot they were playing now, to be honest. But
yeah. Another team up the road from us are 1-0 down as well. So that's always fun. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Huddersfield. I want to see how we do, especially, you know, I think we owe them one after last time out at the Vic.
Yeah, definitely. And one win in nine for Huddersfield, and they've got Watford up next, and we usually know how that ends. I'm not going to ask you guys for predictions, because we'll wrap it up there. I've got a couple of things to mention before I switch the stream off. We'll be back on Tuesday or Wednesday night. I can't remember now. I'm the guy that organised it. I can't remember. We're going to have a Huddersfield podcast. The podcast is called And He Takes That Chance, which I believe is in relation to when they won the playoff final to get promoted to the Premier League. I think that's what the commentator said. So, yeah, they'll be on Tuesday or Wednesday to talk about the game on Saturday. And then obviously we'll be back on the Sunday to talk about the game against Huddersfield. I probably won't be there though, because, and this is a real shameless plug, but I am running for charity on the Saturday, the 4th of November, when we're playing Huddersfield. I'm going to try and share my screen for you guys that are watching at home. Let me see if this works. If there's people that aren't watching at home, then you probably won't see this, but Here we go. So I believe this is working now. So, massive thanks has to go out to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, because I went on their Twitter space yesterday and Pete very kindly asked me how training's going. So I've coming into the final week of training this Monday coming with the run on Saturday itself. When I spoke to the guys at Do Not Scratch Your Eyes yesterday, I was £20 short of the £250 target. As you can see now, that has been smashed out the water, and largely thanks to those that listen to Do Not Scratch Your Eyes, I am now up to £315, which is very, very kind. I must say a massive thank you to Pete Fincham, who very kindly donated £50, Hazel, and then Paul as well, both come off the back of the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes Twitter space yesterday. So, yeah, I really want to say thank you to those guys. If you have any sort of any donation you want to make, whether it's £1, £10, £100, whatever, then message us and I will very happily send over the link. Just because I've hit the target now, I want to completely smash it out of the park and smash it out of the water. I'm feeling as good as I can, I suppose. The last sort of couple of 10K runs I've done, perhaps not the best condition I've ran them in, but this time around I like to think that I'm in a much better position and hopefully a personal best. I'll obviously update everyone on the Twitter after Saturday. But these guys, I'm sure, will be back on the Sunday to talk about the Huddersfield game. And then the following week on the Tuesday, we are speaking to a Rotherham podcast. And then obviously that following Sunday, we'll be then back to talk about the Rotherham game. But thank you very much for tuning in to today's Voices of the Vic podcast. Thank you for popping your comments and questions in. We always love to hear from you guys. And love interacting with you and love your questions and comments. If you like this video, don't forget to hit the like button underneath the video on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button as well. I must say, when I was looking through the other day on the statistics, I'm a bit of a geek and a nerd when it comes to the statistics of the podcast. And I often bore these guys to tears in the group sometimes, saying, "Oh, we've had a listener from Cambodia, and you know, we so many people listen from Hungary," and it blows my mind, to be honest. But the one thing that strikes me, which sort of surprises me, is a large portion of you guys that watch on YouTube don't actually subscribe to us. So I know it might not seem that big of a deal to you, but believe me, it makes a lot of difference. If you like the video and subscribe, don't forget to like it on Facebook as well, and you can leave a rating on Apple Podcast and Spotify as well. We really do appreciate it. We see everything. We see you guys' good comments as well. So until Tuesday or Wednesday, when we'll be back, I'm not sure who'll be back yet with me or Ben. But stay safe, everyone. Take care, and come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.